Here we are on this beautiful Monday, a Monday that sees the New York Jets win a football game, a Monday after the New York Giants lose an improbable game, and a Monday that features the New York Mets beginning this incredibly important 7-game homestand without Francisco Lindor. Lindor said he's feeling okay, but not great. It could be 2 to 3 days. It could be 3 to 5 days. But what we know is he's not in the lineup tonight against the Washington Nationals. The Joe Beningo Football Monday call-in is brought to you by Empire City Casino. Winners play here. By Approved Oil, lock in your low oil rate at freezetherate.com. And by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. Bro, how you doing, man?
Well, before we even get to the Jets, okay, did I hear this right, and I love Mendoza, that he's playing the speed skater tonight instead of Acuna?
Yes.
How is that possible?
I don't understand that one.
I mean, what is he? What, because he's a left-hand hitter?
Yes.
Guy, come on.
And that's
send
to
him
me.
Back to the freaking Olympics. What is that?
And to me, that's overthinking it, because Luis Angel Acuna has played 2 games as a New York Met. He had some very good at-bats in his Major League debut on Saturday.
No doubt.
And then even yesterday, I know he didn't hit, but he made a really good defensive play behind second. Like, let the kid play. As long as Lindor's out, to me, I agree with you. Luis Angel Acuna should get that first crack at the shortstop job.
Nah, there's no question about it, 100%. 100%.
But you're right. Like, this is Mendy overthinking, well, Jake Irvin's a righty. We're facing two lefties the next 2 days. So it's only going to be for one day because they're facing two lefties coming up.
Yeah, but I
still wouldn't do it.
But don't you trust that Mendy will, if he's wrong, he'll just admit it and go do what's right?
I mean,
I feel like he's not as tied as Boone is to whatever the plan is. You know what I mean? He plays it more with his gut.
Yeah, I agree with you, but here's the problem. They only have 13 games left.
That's it.
Yeah.
And every game is a must-win here, man. You got to win these 3 games against Washington.
Acuna's only been up here for, 3 days?
Okay, right. Eddie Alvarez is a speed skater who hasn't been in the major leagues for 2 years.
Okay, but he's been a major leaguer.
Oh, stop.
I'm just telling you. It's hard as a skip, manager, coach, whatever, to trust the rookie in a very short critical moment when these postseason's on the line. Yeah,
but Eddie Alvarez?
It's Eddie Alvarez.
Okay, but he's a veteran.
What are we talking about
here?
It's
the same thing with Yankee fans when they're like, Dominguez or Verdugo.
No, it's not. No, Verdugo's a major leaguer.
No, it's not. This guy's played 10 seconds in the major leagues. Come on.
Now, with that said, Joe, I will give you a big hug tomorrow, Tiki, if Eddie Alvarez goes 4 for 5.
Yeah, if that happens, that solidifies Mendoza as manager.
How worried are you, though, about Lindor right now?
I'm worried about it. I mean, the guy plays every minute of every game. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he's not playing. So, I mean, you have to be a little worried about it. And let's be honest, this team, the bottom line on our team, bro, is they don't hit.
Yeah.
They don't hit enough. The pitching has carried them. You could kill Diaz all you want about yesterday. They don't hit.
No, it's on
the
offense.
That's the bottom line. It's all on the offense. I'm sick and tired of these guys. They strike out constantly. They swing at pitches 50 feet off the plate. It makes me delirious.
And
that's the bottom line.
And now they need, and I'm not necessarily confident it's going to happen, but over the next 13 days, they need Pete Alonso to go on a tear.
No question.
They need J.D. Martinez to go on a tear.
No question.
These guys, they're all capable of it. It's not like the Mets have a horrible roster, but Lindor's carried them for months. Now it's time they return the favor.
They're getting bigger hits from Tyrone Taylor, who has really been a tremendous player for them this year, than they're getting from the big guy. Nimmo's got 3 home runs since the All-Star break. What, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And Alonso, he hits a flutter ball the other night when they're up 10-0 off Clemens' kid. Maybe I could have hit a pitch there, too. and he hits it out of the ballpark. Big effing deal, you know?
No, come on. I'm with you on that. How about the Jets? What's your feeling on the win yesterday?
Boy, here's my feeling on the win. Boy, it's all about the quarterback. Let's be real. It's all about the quarterback. And let's be real about this, too. This team, the strength of this team is the offense, not the defense anymore. This defense is not as good as it was last year. Let's tell it like it is. Now you got Jermaine Johnson. He's done for the year. And I know McDonald had a nice game yesterday. You're going to need a lot more of that from him. You know, even Kinlaw did some things. Solomon Thomas. Sauce Gardner was terrible yesterday. Got beat on that touchdown by Ridley. There was another one where Ridley dropped one. That could have been a touchdown. He did not have a good game at all. Their best defensive player is Quincy Williams by miles. You know, it's not even debatable. And now you got an injury to Mosley. So, and we'll see. Maybe Mosley will play Thursday night. Maybe that's why they kept him out of the rest of the game. But to me, the bottom line is this. We got a real quarterback. We got two monsters in the backfield in Breece Hall and this kid Allen, who looks like he's absolutely going to be terrific. Even Mike Williams, and what I thought was, you want to say the biggest play of the game was Will Levis deciding to lateral the ball to Quincy Williams? I mean, that really kind of turned the game around.
Right, it did.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
You go up two scores regardless. Right. All you got to do is protect the ball. Right. You're up two scores. Even if it's not a touchdown, it's two scores.
Right. But the biggest play of the game to me was the fourth, was the second and 16 after that stupid lateral to Breece that lost 6 yards and hitting Mike Williams on the sideline for that first down.
Huge play.
And by the way, I thought that was the biggest play of the game on the game-winning touchdown.
That's why you'd say it's the quarterback, because he makes those throws.
Yep.
He's not afraid to throw that show. If he doesn't see, and I think they said this on that broadcast, if you see the back of the helmet, he's open. Right, and so Aaron Rodgers, maybe it was a different broadcast, but Aaron Rodgers does that as good as anybody. But you talked about those two running backs. I think the strength of their team is their running back situation.
Yeah.
Because they're mismatches. Yep. We saw it in the passing game with Breece Hall, and we heard, you know, anecdotally afterwards that, hey, Aaron, if I got a linebacker on me, I'm running a go, throw it to me.
And we saw it a touchdown.
And we saw it, and we saw it. Yep. And Braylon Allen, he is such a heavy runner. Like, it all of a sudden solves your third and short situation, issues. You don't feel like you have to have, like, this unbelievably creative play to get a first down, right? Just turn around and hand it off. And the other thing, getting both those guys on the field at the same time is awesome.
Yeah. Hey, look, Breece Hall can split out like a wide receiver. I mean, he's got a lot of Marshall Faulk in him as far as I'm concerned.
Agreed.
Very similar type of player.
Agreed.
And I'll tell you something else, guys. And nobody's talking about it, but this offensive line, I mean, look, they were a little slow in the Niner game. They didn't really run block well. I thought they pass blocked. Yesterday, you saw the run blocking starting to come around. And I'll tell you, if this offensive line stays healthy, this is going to be a very good offensive football team.
Yeah.
Very good.
Pass protection was awesome. It was very good against the Niners. It was even better last week.
Yep.
And you know what was nice to see? It was nice to see the other team have a quarterback do stupid things that cost them the team the game. And and we have the smart quarterback that does the smart things that wins us a game. Like, what a novelty that is.
Yep. Yeah, no question about that. Levis, I mean, he had some moments.
Sure.
I mean, he had that 40-yard run. He had the touchdown pass to Ridley. He gets out of that sure sack on the final drive of the game. I don't know how the hell he did that for about a 13-yard run. But, you know, he made that bonehead play like he did in the Bear game when he flipped the ball to the sideline. Kid takes it in for a touchdown. And even the interception. You know, I want to give some credit to Brandon Echols, because every time this guy plays, he makes plays, this guy.
Yeah.
And he's not the best corner in the world, but he'll make plays. And let's not forget as well, this kid Charles, okay?
Irving
on
Charles.
Special teams.
Oh, man.
He was a demon. He covering punts. He blocks the punt. They should have got more than three out of it. If Ruckert kept running in the end zone and didn't stop,
touchdown.
Maybe that would have been a touchdown on that pass from Rodgers after the block punt. But he was a big part of the game.
I was saying to Tiki, I may want to get the Irving Charles jersey.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And the guy made three impactful special teams plays. Obviously, the block punt, but even on coverage, like he took the Titans back, I'd say at least 8 or 9 yards on a couple of possessions. He was awesome. But you're right, and it's weird to say this. I know we're only 2 weeks into the season. You can see how this offense can be dynamic, how it can be amazing. And you look at the defense, and you see a ton of concerns.
Yep.
Sauce having the worst game of his career, losing Jermaine Johnson, not being great at stopping the run, though they were a little bit better yesterday. Like, you could see how the defense, who last year was the ultimate strength of this team, could actually turn into a liability for this team.
Well, they're going to have to. The defense is going to have to be run differently now. They're going to have to blitz. They blitzed a couple times yesterday. They don't blitz enough. They're going to have to blitz more to go after the quarterback. And let's be honest, bro. As much as it bothers me, you got to get Reddick in the house now. They got to somehow find a way to get Reddick here. I mean, if I'm Joe Douglas right now, I got to be talking to this guy. Look, you're not going to see him Thursday, even if they sign him now. You probably wouldn't see him maybe till Minnesota in London, okay? I don't know. But the bottom line is you got to get Reddick on a contract now.
Yeah,
they have to do it.
I just think that's easier said than done because he still wants a big contract.
I get it.
You know what I mean? And I don't know if they're willing to do that for him. I mean, not that he's not necessarily worth it, but it's just, I don't know if it's calculated into their game plan.
I agree that their game plan was not to give him that, but here's the problem. Like, this is a win now team.
Yep.
They just
no
lost
doubt.
Jermaine Johnson. Like, they need Hassan Reddick. Like, they need him. He makes the Jets a lot better. And
of course.
What are you going to do? You're going to play this game of chicken?
By the way, I'm not denying that because you look at the depth on the defensive line and it's not as solid as you would hope it was going to be coming into this season when you traded for Hassan Reddick. But you still got to be fiscally responsible. And so maybe they're going to now have to cave, but I don't know if that's necessarily what Joe Douglas's intent is right now.
I think, is there any way to get this guy just on a 1 year? You know, I guess he's under contract already, but is there any way to get him on a 1 year?
Well, the challenge, Joe, from a Hassan Reddick standpoint, and I get this, is that he is grossly underpaid for a defensive end. The top DNs are making you know, close to $30, $28 million, even let's just say 24. He's making 15. And his salary this year is like $750,000. So that cap hit is what the signing bonus that he signed with the Philadelphia Eagles provided him. Like, his cash coming in this year is under $1 million. It's like he's a
that's crazy.
Right? It's like he's
unbelievable.
It's like he's a replaceable player.
Right.
So that's really the issue.
That's like chump change in the NFL.
It might be league minimum.
Yeah, right,
I think it's right around that. And so I understand why Hassan Reddick is pissed off, right? I can understand why he's disgruntled. It's because he's not compensated from an AAV standpoint, but certainly not from a what are the Jets paying me standpoint to be, okay, I'm going to come play and give you all my effort, and if I get hurt, I get no contract next year.
Yeah.
So I get it, but they have to account for that, and that's the challenge with Hassan Reddick.
Circumstances change. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, like, no, you're right.
Circumstances
you're right.
are completely different than they were 3 weeks
and
ago.
And they can't, or they're not good at getting after the passer with four.
No.
Right?
They got a blitz, T.
Right, they do.
Blitz.
And even Will McDonald's sacks, the first two, one, he wasn't even blitzing, or he wasn't even rushing. He was a dropout lineman. And Will had what's the quarterback name? I'm forgetting his
Levis,
name. Will Levis had nowhere to go with the football. He decides to scramble, and McDonald tackles him behind the line of scrimmage.
Right.
He wasn't rushing him. The second one, he was on the ground, and his leg kind of came up and tripped him. That's the one where he fumbled
the lateral. Right.
The third one was a good sack, but like we're lauding Will McDonald for having a good game. Statistically, he did, but eye test wise, it wasn't like elite pass rushing.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
And so there is a definite need for a team that can't get home with four to have a guy who can get home by himself.
Mm.
And that's what Hassan Reddick does. It's just challenging because they really don't want to pay him.
But they got to start blitzing. There's no doubt in my mind, Teague. Look, I mean, you know, when Rex Ryan was here, we had Revis. And look, Sauce Gardner is not Darrell Revis at this point, okay?
Let's he's not like physical like him.
No. But you had Revis on one side, you had Antonio Cromartie on the other, okay? And you saw Rex blitz all the time because he knew he had these two guys to cover the outside. You know, Salah won't do that. You know, even when DJ Reed's healthy, I mean, he's not doing that. You got to start sending the safeties. I got to see Quincy Williams blitz. I got to see Sauce blitz off the corner.
Yeah, it just gets hard because you're then so unsound behind it. You know what
now,
I mean?
I get what you're saying. I get it. I do. But you know what, Teague? When you got what we have on the offense now, you know, you can get away with it. In the years gone by when Zach Wilson's the quarterback, of course not. You can't do that.
Right. You give up points.
Right.
Previous years, it was like, all right,
you're
it's
done.
Over. We're done.
Right.
Right.
And speaking of Sauce Show, I'm starting to be worried about him.
Yeah.
Week one, he disappears for 9 plays. Robert Saleh says,
after a shoulder injury.
Off the field.
Okay,
but
the head coach said, he didn't say it was an injury. Now, you're probably right, Teak, that it was, but he said he needed a blow. And then yesterday, I thought that was the worst game we ever saw Sauce play.
He was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, look, on that
tentative,
on that touchdown to Ridley, I thought Chuck Clark intercepted it as initially looking at it. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's got the ball. Now, let's be honest about this, too. I think they would have scored anyway. Sauce did contact them at about the 2-yard line.
Yeah.
Even though they it probably wouldn't have mattered. They would have scored the touchdown anyway. But, you know, be that as it may. But he was not good yesterday. You're 100% right.
How about these penalties? Because this continues to be a major issue on defense. The one I'll excuse is the Jermaine Johnson roughing the passer, because that was BS.
Mm-hmm. That was, I don't know about that one.
Yeah. But the rest of it, like Chuck Clark's horse collar, just a lot of dumb penalties. Well, and this is a trend.
Well, penalties on the defense, but how about the delay of games? I mean, let's be honest. They blew 2 timeouts early in the second half because they were about to get delay of game penalties on offense.
Yeah.
And now it didn't come back to hurt them. You know, it didn't matter at the end of the game. The timeouts didn't come into play. But you can't have that. I mean, well, how is that possible, you know?
Yeah, I have more confidence of that being cleaned up because Aaron Rodgers has always done that where he works the play clock down to, like, the bare minimum.
Right,
and,
look,
it's still early. They're getting the offense figured out. So that's one of those things I think will be cleaned up. The defensive miscues, they haven't been cleaned up for 2.5 years.
No, there's much too many penalties on the defensive side of the ball. I couldn't agree. You know, the defensive holding penalties, which is probably the killer penalty of the league.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something's got to be done about that. The illegal contact, which so many times doesn't affect the play whatsoever, and you get 5 yards and an automatic first down. It's absurd, no doubt.
We're talking to Joe Benigno. All right, this Patriot game. I watched a little bit of the New England game against Seattle.
Right.
They've been better.
Thank you, Seahawks.
Yeah, thank you very much. I didn't want to go in and facing them 2-0, but the Patriots have been a lot better than people expected.
Yep.
Does your expectations change a little bit going into Thursday night with the way they've played? Because I wanted to kill them. I think when we talked about it during the offseason, it was, we better beat this team by 30. I don't know about you. Just get out of there with a victory.
No, love, that's it. I mean, look, there's no style points, as you know. I mean, look, every game is losable. I mean, let's be honest about it.
Yes.
And
by the way, I think that's any team in the NFL, Joe.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
I called the Raiders and the Ravens. Nobody gave the Raiders a chance.
Mm. Boy, how about that? Stunning. I mean,
13 unanswered points in the fourth quarter?
Mm. Right. Yeah, I think it's the first time in like 10 years that the Ravens have started the season 0-2.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, look at the Cowboys yesterday. I mean, they had such a weird team, the Cowboys, man. Just get smoked at home. I don't know how good the Saints really are, but, you know, they're off to a flying start. There's no doubt about that. Sam Darnold, how about him? Beating the 49ers.
I called it.
Did you?
No, Tiki's calling. He doesn't mean the game. I mean, like, he thinks Sam Darnold's going to put it all together with competent coaching and offensive weapons.
Right. It's really belief in the coaching. And by the way, that's the same thing that's happening in New Orleans with Clint Kubiak as the OC.
Right.
You're seeing Derek Carr and, more importantly, Alvin Kamara get used properly. You know what I mean? And so coaching matters so much for some of these quarterback, running back, wide receiver combinations. And those two teams, and I think even including New England, they have a pretty good conversation. I mean, a combination of talent around them. And Ramondre Stevenson... I mean, he can run, man.
Well, they got Antonio Gibson, Rahondre Stevenson.
And let's
like, that's
going to
be a challenge.
One other thing, too. Jacoby Brissett is legitimate. I mean, let's not forget last year that game against Washington on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. The Jets had a big lead in that game. Whoever was the quarterback goes out of the game. Brissett comes in and almost wins the game for him.
Yeah, we just kind of think of him as a backup.
Dangerous.
Yeah, we just think of him as like, he's just
dangerous.
A backup that can just maybe win a game for you. But he's actually a... He's not bad. Exactly. He's not bad. That's exactly right.
He can beat you. There's no doubt about it. They got a good defense, a secondary. Now, we rarely do we see breakdowns in the secondary like we did yesterday when Metcalf beat them for about a 70-yard touchdown.
Right.
You don't see that too often. But they're an opportunistic defense. They take the ball away. This will not be an easy game on Thursday.
Yeah, that my gut feeling, and it's still Monday, so obviously we got a few days before we get
there. And they're 7-point favorites, which to me is way too much.
I think it's going to be ugly, dirty.
Interesting.
I do not have the confidence.
Way too much.
I didn't have the confidence that if we had this conversation in July, I'd probably like, you know what, we're going to blow them out. We owe them. It's going to be 2-0 after the long losing streak. Now I think, not that the Jets are going to lose on Thursday, but It's not going to. We're going to sweat our asses off. Put it that
look,
way.
You know why? Especially because the run game is so good in New England.
Right. Yeah. Well, we're going to sweat it because of the defense. The defense is not as good. I mean, you know, you talk about the defensive line. They lost Bryce Huff. They lost John Franklin Myers. They lost Jefferson. They lost Al Woods. I mean, what?
They lost a lot of guys.
Oh, I forgot
they
Al Woods.
Lost a lot
too.
Of guys. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
They lost a lot of guys.
I think there was an arrogance this offseason that they would easily be replaceable. But the defensive line is not the same as it was a year ago. And I think Joe may be right that we're going to be sitting here. Not that the Jets won't be good, but their identity is going to be so different than it was a year ago.
Right.
Well, they're going to need the offense to score enough points to win a lot
but
of these games.
As long as number 8 is there and he's healthy, we got a shot. And that's how I feel right now.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Also, if you have those two running backs doing their
thing. Oh, my God. Tremendous.
Big deal.
And it makes me think that they should have used Braylon a lot more
week one. In game one.
Because there were so many opportunities in short-yarded situations where I even said to you, like, where is this guy? Right. Yeah. He's 20 years old. He's young. I think he's earning a lot more time on the football field.
Now, he was great yesterday. And I got to see more of Mike Williams, too. I mean, like I said, he made that big catch, that contested catch down the sidelines. And we don't see that kind of thing too often. I mean, I got to see this guy play more. I know they're being cautious, I guess, with him. But we need more of him as well.
Any concern, and this is something I don't have, but Sean and Loogie, you know the way they are. They're Giant fans. They're looking to kind of make us worried any way we can.
Right.
But they brought up the way Aaron was moving, his mobility. Any concern about the way he looks?
Well, I don't think he's got the mobility he used to.
Of course.
Mean, and that brings it back to the offensive line. I mean, he did have that one run when he got out of the pocket. He got about 3 yards. He went out of bounds.
Yep.
He actually got pushed before he went out of bounds, but they're not going to call that. But whatever. A little bit. My concern is not his mobility. My concern is him being healthy and playing.
That's it.
Okay?
Yep.
That's it. I mean, I'm not worried about him getting out of the pocket and scrambling. You know, if you're going to get – if you can't get away from the pass rush, go down. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, because he has to stay healthy.
Yes. And luckily, the offensive line, it's only 2 weeks in.
Look good.
It would be an excuse for them to struggle learning how to play together. They do look very good.
I
mean, they look like a unit that can be so far different than what we saw last year.
Yeah. And again, it's all about health. You know, it's like I love to use the line from Godfather 2, Hyman Roth saying to Michael Corleone, Michael, the most important thing is health.
That's it.
Right? And that is the bottom line. You know what I mean?
Where is your confidence? 13 games to go, 7 at home, the uncertainty around Lindor. The pitching continues to be great. I mean, David Peterson yesterday was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
The Braves, thank God for the Dodgers at least one day beating the Atlanta Braves.
And by the way, watching the ninth inning of that game last night, Snedeker decides to Snitker, however you say his name, the manager for the Braves.
Snitker, yes.
Yeah. Decides to walk Ohtani, right?
Yes.
And that just opened the floodgates.
Mookie!
Boom, Mookie Betts with a big hit. Our good buddy Freddie Freeman with a big hit. And then boom, 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 boom.
Yes.
Home runs, 3 in a row.
That's how you know the Mets are in a pennant race. You're watching Sunday night baseball.
Can you believe that?
Dodgers Braves. Yes.
Bro, no. Let me tell you. I mean, I was, you know, every commercial, you know, I wasn't going to the red zone. I was going to the Met game.
Nah, I got
to tell you, during the Jet. I mean, I was locked into the Jet game, but, you know, every commercial, I was going to the Met game, and the pitching has really carried them. I mean, Manaea tonight needs to be what he's been now for, you know, 2 months or however long it's been. But they don't hit. They got to start to hit. If they don't start to hit, then if they don't make the playoffs, it'll be because they have not hit enough. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. No, they got to wake up. They got a lot of guys capable of it.
Yep.
And it starts that they've done a great job against the Nationals. They're 8-2 against the Nationals.
Is that what the number is? 8-2?
Yeah. Well, they better be 11-2.
Right.
Well, remember one thing about
even
this
without
national
Lindor,
team now.
That's the question.
Yeah, right. Well, remember one thing about this national team. This is a lot of new guys on this team. They got a lot of young players on this team.
Yep.
And, you know, they gave the Braves problems last week. I think they split 4 with them, whatever it was. So, but they need to sweep this series. And how about this, too? This really ticks me off, okay? How about the fact that the last series of the year at home against Philadelphia, only one game is on SNY? They're on Fox Thursday night, the ridiculous streaming game on Friday that you're not going to see. Saturday, they actually are on SNY, and then Sunday, it's the ESPN night game.
Yeah.
That's a disgrace.
Well, you know who's Yankee fans are used to that? I think they just had it.
Right.
Like, they're basically always off of regular TV because they're game, you know, they're a sexy team. And so the Mets and the Phillies is a sexy enough matchup where
I wish our football team wasn't so sexy with all these damn night. I know you love the games.
I know.
But I hate them. Now, I'll be there. You're going to come and see me Thursday?
I will be there Thursday, yes. I will come soon.
Come to the Winters Brothers tailgate, because that's where I'll be.
You got it,
man. With the Winters Bros.
You got it. Hopefully we'll be celebrating a nice victory on Thursday night. Should be
fun. By the way, did the Giants get a kicker yet or not?
I haven't heard. Well, I know there's guys got to be in.
They got a kicker on the practice squad.
Right. Let me ask you a question, because, you know, again, I'm locked into the Jets, but it was obvious what was going on in the Giant game is, you know, seeing the score and everything. When did Gano get hurt? Was he hurt before the game?
So he was dealing with a groin issue, but they were good to go to start the game. And on the opening kickoff, while trying to tackle an Austin Ekeler kick return for a touchdown that, by the way, got called back, he pulled his hamstring.
Yeah. Wow. Very, very similar to Andrew Thomas pulling his hamstring on the blocked whatever it was.
Yeah. First play of the game on a play that ended up getting called back anyway. It was the Giants.
But he was also hurt in warm-ups, Ev, too.
Was he?
Well, no, I just said he had a groin issue.
Yeah, that was the groin.
Yeah, we're talking about the groin issue that he was on the injury report
for. The hamstring didn't happen in warm-ups.
He injured the hamstring during the kickoff.
But he still went out and kicked after leaving warm-ups early. That's what compounded it.
What?
Do you not know that he left warm-ups early? Also, he re-hurt the groin again in warm-ups?
Yeah. Yes.
So the question is,
I didn't know that. He injured his groin again?
So he had the groin injury.
He re-injured it in warm-ups.
He was warming up. He boomed a 60-yarder, a 58-yarder, and then had to cut his warm-up short because he came up lame with his groin right before, and he went into the locker room, and it was too late to have an activation.
Oh, wow.
And then they still allowed him to kick off the opening kickoff.
That makes it even dumber that you would even allow him to be a part of the opening kick, where he got hurt running after Austin Ekeler, who took it back for a touchdown.
I'm not a doctor.
And it got called back.
Sean, were you there?
Was I there? No, but it was being live reported by all the reporters.
So the thing I wonder,
is that Sean with the bag on his head?
Yes.
Joe, we're at that stage of the season right now.
Sean, come on. It's week two.
Exactly.
Joe. Slow down.
He looks better, though, with the bag over his head.
Exactly. I can barely talk to him because I'm looking at recycled paper across his face. But the question, Sean, I have for you is, did he not come out to test his groin early? Because they do that. They usually do that when you have a lingering injury, just to make sure you're okay before they activate you.
So he did. He came out to test the groin, made a couple really long field goals, so they felt good about it, but then had to cut it short because he came up lame.
I'm talking about way. I'm not talking about the regular warm up. I'm not talking about when guys come out
in the morning.
I'm talking about early. At 10 o'clock.
Well, basically, if he did, no reporter reported it.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah, so if you look, I'm not talking about the back.
If you have a groin injury, hamstring injury, whatever it is, you usually come out and test it before warm-ups are started. You're out there by yourself.
Right.
There's nobody there. There's nobody in the stadium. And if they didn't do that, then they asked for it.
When's the deadline for you to add someone to the active roster? Like, if he injures himself Sunday and they make the determination, you know what, he can't go.
Like, we get him, I want to say it's like 2 hours before game time. I can't remember, because we get him.
Right.
Like, we knew beforehand, but the official elevation, like, for instance, there was a running back for the Ravens that got activated. But we got the actual, or the confirmation like 2 hours before.
You have to technically elevate a practice squad elevation the day before, but then you have to make them active 2 hours before.
Yes.
So they had no choice that day.
Yeah. Well,
they could have. That was the point. He got hurt Friday. They could have at least gave him the option.
No, right. So if they weren't, if he wasn't elevated, the guy on the practice squad, I forget his name.
Judd McNamee.
If he wasn't elevated on Saturday,
they could not have activated.
They had
him on
no
Sunday.
Choice but to go with Graham Gano.
Right. Or they could have gone with Gillen early with the kickoff.
Right. Yeah. At that point, they were screwed. By the way, Joe, that was the second time in the history of football a team scored 3 touchdowns, didn't allow any, and lost the game. Jet-like loss that they suffered yesterday.
Yeah, I did see that. By the way, Sean, did you get that from the White Sox fans? Is that where you got the bag?
No.
No?
No. I mean, Browns fans, we are playing the Browns this week, but we are the bigger dogs right now, Joe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, the Browns did come off a win. Speaking of dogs, Jack, you talk about an overrated team. How about the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah.
Is there anybody more overrated than they are?
And you know what they did before the game on Sunday? They renamed Everbank Stadium Trevor Bank Stadium.
Oh, I saw that.
Trevor Lawrence. That worked out well.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe it wasn't such a bad thing we didn't get him. And by the way, what was the one last thing I want? Oh, by the way. Okay. I'm sure you saw the end of the Chiefs game. Is there any other team in football? I understand, letter of the law, it probably was a pass interference call.
It was.
Is there any other team in the league that would have got that call in that spot, Tiki?
I think yes. Honestly, I believe it was the right call, because I went back and just watched it.
It definitely was letter of the law.
I went there on the merits, and the cornerback, Dejon Anthony, he came into, he hit Rashee Rice really hard. I mean, it was because I almost feel like Rice, like planned it because he was going to jump. Instead of going towards the trajectory of the ball, he went to a spot and stopped and then jumped. And then he got hit, or he got hit right when the ball was getting there. So it's almost like he baited that.
Yeah, smart.
But it was the right call.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot of contact.
It's the right call, but if that pass is being thrown by Zach Wilson a year ago.
No, there's no way. Come on, Keith. There's no way we're getting that call.
Maybe. You're probably right, but it was the right call.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. And look, I'm the worst that it is on the officials, but it was a letter of the law, pass interference. But I just wonder if somebody else would have got that call.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Matters the team. I mean, is there a star tight end dating a pop star? That's the real question.
He didn't do too much yesterday, I'll tell you that.
No,
Kelsey.
He didn't.
Well,
he
the good thing is that a local kid, no, he's not local, but he went locally here, a kid from Princeton.
The kid from Cincinnati with the weird name.
Yeah, Andre Yosevas. Yeah. He was my son's teammate a couple years ago.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, kid's a stud, man.
Well, your son's playing at Princeton, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was a Princeton kid. He was a decathlete, too. So he's like this elite athlete.
I bid $150 fake dollars on him in fantasy football. He can be on my team now.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
He's a good red zone target.
Indeed. Yeah. Joe, appreciate it, man. Let's get a win Thursday.
Thank you,
Joe.
I'll see you Thursday. Take care, guys.
The great Joe Beningo. Jets win. The Mets, some concerns. Francisco Lindor is not in the lineup tonight. He met the media, said it could be a couple of days. So who knows when we see Francisco Lindor again. More on the Mets, more on Garrett Cole chickening out on Saturday, and obviously a lot of Giants and Jets we continue to discuss at 888-808-1019. We come back, we get back to our calls. Plus, we see how we did. On Friday, we all gave specific stat predictions for Daniel Jones. How did we do? Evan and TV on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls in a second. Obviously, a lot of Giant talk today. A lot of Giant fans angry with the coach, Brian Daboll, and angry at the state of affairs. They're 0-2 to the point where Sean's been wearing a paper bag over his head throughout the day. Obviously, the Jets get their first win of the year. Now, on Friday, we all went around the room and made predictions on Daniel Jones' stats. And we like to be held accountable around here. So let's listen back to what everybody said his stats would be. Before we do that, here are his final stats, in case you haven't seen them. 16 for 28, 178 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 5 carries, 32 yards. Not bad, by the way.
No.
Not a bad performance by Daniel Jones at all. In fact, if it wasn't for Malik Nabers, I hate to rip him because Malik had a great game, but Malik Nabers dropped a fourth down reception. That would have been a first down, and who knows how the game ends.
Right.
So Malik was great yesterday, but he kind of had a big drop that cost them the game.
And the Singletary fumble.
And the Devin Singletary fumble was also a huge play in this game.
That was in positive territory.
Yeah. Right. It was at the 35 starting the third quarter.
It was also like an 11-yard run. Like Singletary had 11 yards and then obviously
lost. By the way, everything he did on that play was exactly right. It started front side, cut it backside, but the challenge with starting one way and ending up the other is that the ball is usually in the wrong hand.
Mm.
And so switching it is hard when there's traffic around you, but you got to master doing that. Like, because if the ball's going to come out and you're running towards the sideline, it's got to come out of bounds.
Right.
And the problem
And it
was,
didn't. It went backwards. St. Juice knocked it away.
Right, because it was in his right hand. And St. Juice was behind him.
Yeah.
He knocked it out, never even saw it.
Yeah.
He probably didn't even realize it fell out of his hand until it was out of his hand.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you had two drives end in kind of just bad luck ways. A drive ending with a fumble by Devin Singletary, a drive ending on a drop by Malik Nabers.
Now, those would have had to gotten into the end zone.
Sure.
Because obviously they were not kicking anything. But,
and we can't assume they would.
But at the very least, it's time off the clock and time away from the other team.
Absolutely. So 16 for 28, 178 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Let's hear from Sean Morash first because he was as inaccurate as any of us. So the man wearing the paper bag on his head, here's what he said on Friday.
I'm going 6 of 13, 62 yards, 1 INT, 1 fumble on a carry for his 2 carries for 17 yards. He will be pulled at the half.
Wow, hater. Yeah, you keep the bag on your head for that freaking terrible prediction.
Look, I'll say this. Daniel Jones, I thought, was mentally broken. It's still only one game versus a team he's absolutely crushed, but he deserves a lot of credit.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, you know, I think I learned my lesson a little bit. In this business or even with fans, we could be a little too overreactionary sometimes, and I probably overreacted. That's all.
All right, let's hear the exact opposite opinion on what they thought Daniel Jones would do on Sunday. Here's Tiki Barber making his prediction on Daniel Jones' final numbers.
Daniel Jones is going to be 21 for 31 for 294 yards and two touchdowns and an interception. Four carries for 32 yards.
Look at that. I was about to ask you for that. By the way, Tiki nailed the amount of rushing yards.
Yep.
He had five carries, 32 yards. You said four carries, 32 yards.
And two touchdowns.
And you nailed the two touchdowns. You were just a little bit off on the passing yards. 294 to 178. So I'd give you like a B-minus for that
I
one.
Thought they would throw a lot more than they ended up throwing.
Well, you had him throwing three more times than Daniel actually threw.
Oh yeah, I said 31.
Yeah,
I thought I thought it said 38. Right.
Yeah. Here is the prediction that Positive Tommy made about Daniel Jones.
All right, as bad as DJ has been and is, the Commanders are worse. So I'll give a one rushing TD, one passing TD, 200 yards passing. He somehow, some way, makes it through the entire game. It's not the greatest ever, but that's my stat line. Middle of the road.
What about the passing numbers? Like, did you not listen?
200 passing yards.
No, he went on to say 11 for 22.
Nailed
it. I cut
that
part out.
Nailed it.
How'd you nail? What'd you nail?
He had 178 passing yards. I said 200. He had 15 completions. I said 11.
Oh, you want to hear my prediction? Because maybe I nailed it.
Go ahead.
Here's what I said. I do think Daniel Jones will cause Giant fans on Monday to say, it wasn't that bad. Maybe he's back. So my line is not as audacious as yours, but I will tell you exactly what it is. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
18 for 27. 175 passing yards, one touchdown, one interception, but I think he has a big day on the ground. Nine carries, 52 yards, and a touchdown.
Well, so you got the touchdown total correct.
I got the touchdown total correct. I was off on passing yards by 3 yards. Right. I said 175. He was 178. Oh. 18 for 27. He was 16 for 28. So not that I win anything, but clearly I won this exercise.
Yeah, you did.
Now, I don't get anything for it, but no. You know what? I get pride.
But you know what? I think the most important thing that you said is that we're going to be saying on Monday, hey, he actually was okay. He wasn't bad.
I think I nailed that part, too.
That was the most important part of it.
The comparison I used on Friday, and Tiki was like, I can't believe this comparison. I don't even know what you mean. Is I actually compared him to former Met Carlos Baerga, where when Baerga was a Met, he was done. But he'd have a game here and there where you're like, oh, okay, it's the old Carlos Baerga. But you shouldn't be fooled by that. He was never going to be the guy he was in Cleveland. And so I think Daniel Jones was fine on Sunday. He was good enough to win. He reminded you of the good Daniel Jones. But I would warn Giant fans to not overreact to it. Like, he deserves credit for the way he played. I'm giving it. I think we're all giving it. But I would not have this cause me to say, he's back, he's our guy, franchise, we're on our way. But it was a nice performance.
But he wasn't the liability. That's the best part about
not
it.
Not at all.
You ever notice whenever we do this game, Evan only pulls it out when he's the closest to the reaction I've picked up on this trip.
You don't think I always pull it out?
Have we done it?
It's been like, I can't point to the times, but I remember every time we do this, we make predictions on the show, and Evan's always the one that remembers to dust them off when he's the one that comes
that
the closest.
That's so not true.
It's such an Evan gimmick.
I said on Friday, we will do this at 4:30 on Monday. Now, I don't know how many people remembered that, but I'm a man of my word.
You would not have remembered it if you were so far off.
Tiki.
Yeah, I think you would have.
Thank you. You want to do another prediction just so I can prove myself correct?
All right, do a prediction for tonight regarding the Eagles. Go ahead.
Well, we have picks coming up soon.
Yeah, I wouldn't do the Eagles, but I would say
I'm just talking about a performance. Like, what's Saquon going to do?
I think Saquon Barkley is going to have...
What's A.J. Brown going to do?
A.J. Brown's out.
No, time out. He's right. Saquon Barkley. Like, you just nailed it. That's the guy. It's the people we care about. And no matter what, we'll see how right we were. Mm-hmm. We may not spend that much time on it because it's Saquon Barkley, and I don't know if you know this, but he's dead to us. But we can do that.
I'll be it on my fantasy team.
All right, real quick, let's get this over with. Let me write this down, 4:46 on Monday. Predict Saquon Barkley's stats today. Tiki, go.
I'm going to say he's going to get 23 carries, going to have 94 yards.
Okay.
And a touchdown. That's either receiving or reception or rushing. So one touchdown, I think he has like four receptions for 30 yards.
Four receptions, 30 yards. All right, Luke, you go.
Saquon Barkley will have over 100 total yards and two touchdowns.
Why do you always make things complicated? Like, he specifically said rushing attempts, yards, touchdowns.
I'm not making it complicated. I'm different than you guys. You guys are more like statistically, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. No, I'm talking like our audience would talk. He's going to have over 100 total yards and 2 touchdowns.
You know what? I'm excluding him from the game.
Who cares how many carries? I love you, Teak, but I don't care how many carries.
You're out of the game. We're not even saving that. Sean, go ahead.
He will have 84 yards on the ground, 42 yards receiving, a receiving and rushing touchdown tonight.
Mm. Okay. All right.
How is that any different than what I just did? Seriously, how is that any different than how he did?
I'm going to go with 18 carries for 64 yards.
Ow!
No touchdowns. Yeah, he's going to have a rough day today.
Oh.
He's going to have 5 catches for 45 yards, also no touchdowns. Okay. So Saquon does not get in the end zone. And tomorrow at 6 o'clock, we'll check the results.
Oh, at 6. By the way, I have the... You want it? The 4 kickers the Giants are working out.
Go ahead. Let's hear them.
Cade York.
No, because Cade York is signed.
Oh, did he?
Who did he sign with?
He kicked yesterday.
Did he?
I didn't even realize that.
Wait, do I have that wrong? No, Austin Seibert.
Seibert. They cut Cade York, and then they signed Seibert.
This guy's 0-10 with football picks. We should listen to what he says. Go ahead.
Listen, lack of deodorant. Here we go. They are bringing in Tanner Brown, kicker from Oklahoma State.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him either. Zane Gonzalez, who's kicked a little, Riley Patterson, and number one in your hearts, number one in your programs, 2-time New York Giant, Randy Bullock.
Oh, there you go. Fat Randy's back.
By the way,
he's got a little bit of a belly.
Spoiler alert, Randy Bullock will win the job.
Yeah.
And he'll get burnt on a kickoff trying to tackle somebody.
Yeah. Fat Randy doesn't move very quickly, so it's challenging.
I wonder how much of the kickoff is going to go into who they select.
I think the easy solution is kick the ball through the end zone.
That's what I mean. But you gotta have somebody who can do it easily.
Yeah. I mean, everybody should be able to do it easily.
Yeah, but not everybody can.
I think I could do it. Like, I think if I was set up on a football
field. No chance. You'd get a penalty every single kickoff. You'd be short of the landing zone every single
Every
time.
You know what?
It is hard to kick a football.
You know what? This is a slight variation on something we did about 3 years ago, Loogie. Challenge accepted.
Okay.
I'm going out this week. I'm going to put a football on a football field.
Okay.
And I'm going to be the kicker, and I'm going to see how far I can get it.
Right.
And I believe I will get it into the landing zone.
I don't think so.
Now, my wife's going to have to take video. She is not looking forward to that.
But real quickly, another NFL net.
Yes.
People care about this stuff.
I'm just trying to get the calls. It's like you don't want people to speak.
All right, forget it. Isaiah Pacheco's out 6 to 8 weeks.
See, God, that's big news.
You're welcome.
Isaiah Pacheco, the Kansas City Chiefs, out 6 to 8 weeks. Bad news for Kansas City.
High ankle sprain, right?
But here's the good news for Kansas City. I've got great news despite Pacheco being out for 6 to 8 weeks. If there's a borderline call in any game they play during those 6 to 8 weeks,
it'll go their way.
It'll go their way, and they'll be just fine.
Tibula or fibula injury, lower body, whatever it is. So he probably fractured his fibula or tibia.
Okay.
Tibula.
Go figure it out. Let's go to Josh in Smithtown. What's up, Josh?
Hey, guys. So I just wanted to say, first of all, Tommy brought up something about Dable and Shane possibly politicking Mara. I called last week kind of trying to say that. He put it a little better. He's such a way with words, that Tommy.
Except for picking statistics.
but now I just want to say I'm fully on board with Sean and as far as losing goes now this season. And I don't really just want any young quarterback because you look around the league and you see, you know, Bryce Young got benched today, they announced.
Yep.
And you watch Jaden Daniels, you know, he's taking a lot of hits for a rookie, even though he looks pretty good against the Giants. Caleb Williams doesn't look like a stud yet. All these guys have their growing pains. So I don't really just want, you know, to lose this season, take Quinn Ewers or take Shador Sanders and be, you know, mediocre at best. I'm going even further than Sean. I'm going to say we should tank next year and bring in Arch Manning.
Oh. So not just tank this year.
Yeah.
Tank 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Arch did look very good over the weekend. I noticed that.
Dude, the two-step on that 67-yard touchdown, that was pretty amazing.
Draft another playmaker here in the top five, and then just do it. Start the march. We want Arch.
Come on. You want Brandon Jacobs to come back on and rip you another one?
Something tells me with Arch's last name, Brandon might get down with that one.
Right, true. Good point.
I think the more losses that pile up, and we're only 2 weeks into the season, the more people will get on board with that. But the one thing I would be intrigued by, and I'm glad that you have all come around to the idea I presented to you in February about Justin Fields. It did not work out. He's now playing pretty well, 2-0 for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I think we should follow that.
And what that means is if there's a young quarterback who it's just not working out for, maybe you bring them in and kind of take a flyer on Brian Daboll fixing them.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
And so this is not my idea, but it's an idea that's now been floated in the Mets text chat that maybe the New York Giants should take a flyer on the now benched Bryce Young.
Like trade for him?
Like trade for him and try to fix him. He's been benched after only 18 starts in the NFL. Mm. We all believe, you know, even those that are down on Brian Daboll, we believe he's kind of a young quarterback whisperer. We want to see him get that opportunity. And so, and by the way, I'll give you another name. And I'm being dead serious when I say this.
He's only 23 years old, so he's young.
He's only 23 is young. I'm being dead serious when I suggest this name. Because I do believe in Brian Daboll. I think you guys should call Denver and ask about Zach Wilson.
That's not happening. That's not. There's no way he's coming back to New York.
You should bring in young quarterbacks who have just been thrown away by other teams and see if you can fix them the way you believe Sam is being fixed in Minnesota. And by the way, you look right so far.
All right,
far.
So I was, yes, well, that was the right coaching situation. So maybe that is this the issue. So I looked up the numbers here. The money is simple.
On who?
On
Bryce Young?
Bryce Young.
Okay.
So,
because you would have to think Carolina would be willing to deal him. They're benching him for the red rifle.
Right. Unless they just think he needs a break. So a post June 1 trade, which is now,
yeah,
the dead cap for the Panthers is actually not that high. I thought it was high, but that was just a cut cap hit. The dead cap is only $6 million this year.
That's not bad. And for the Giants, what is it?
And then it's $12 million next year. So, I mean, whatever.
Would you give up a fourth-round pick for Bryce Young? It's a flyer pick. It's a flyer pick.
Only if you're moving on from Drew Locke. Because seriously, you're adding more salary.
No, you send Drew Locke back to Carolina. We'll make this like an NBA trade.
Oh, they need a backup anyway.
Right. Here's your backup. You know, take
it's
the money
improbable.
Off our hands.
It's improbable because of the making the circumstances work or even the money work for both sides of this. But would I probably wouldn't.
Really?
Yeah, I don't trust something about him.
I don't believe in Bryce Young. It's more I believe in the idea of giving Brian Daboll little pieces to work with and seeing if he can make something out of what everyone has assumed is a busted pick.
Yeah.
You know Bryce Young's career NFL record? It's unbelievable. He's 2-16.
Yeah.
You imagine that?
Yeah, it's hard to recover perceptually from that.
Like, if he doesn't return as a starter, like, let's say this is it for him, right? Mm-hmm. He never starts again for Carolina, bounces around the league. He is statistically going to go down. And correct me if I'm wrong, as the biggest busted number one overall pick in the history of football as a quarterback.
I mean, the only one.
He's worse than Jamarcus Russell.
What was Jamarcus's? That's the only one I was thinking about.
Jamarcus Russell, I think, was like 5-11 in his second season in the NFL. This guy didn't even make it through his second season in the NFL.
Yeah, Jamarcus Russell's career QB record was 7-18.
See what I'm saying?
And C.J. Stroud getting drafted second overall only hurts Bryce Young, too, because you have somebody to compare it to.
You think so? This is like Michael Jordan all over again.
But you know what I say? Roll the dice. Trade for Bryce.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he's in.
You know what the Giants should do? I could get Tiki on board with this. I know Sean will be on board with this, and it'll kill Evan. The next quarterback for the Giants, Sam Darnold. I mean, finishes his story in New York.
Sam might be too expensive.
27 years old.
He's going to play his way.
If he plays his way this well for the next however many years, he might be too expensive.
This may surprise you, and I really mean this in Minnesota, and I don't even think I'd care next year either. I'm over the Sam Darnold thing. Like, I'm not mad that he's playing well.
Yeah.
I give you credit because
from a Jet standpoint.
Yeah, as a Jet fan, like, I am not mad. It is not bothering me at all. Like, I think back to that time around here, and it's clearly the coaches screwed with him. The roster was awful.
Right.
I never hated Sam. Like, I saw talent in Sam that I never saw in Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. And so I think I have more bitterness towards Zach than I do Sam. Like, if Sam turned it around somewhere else, I'm sorry, Zach Wilson turned it around somewhere else, I think that would kill me. I'm happy for Sam.
Yeah.
Like, I think Sam got hosed around here.
And he's in a good spot. I mean, I was listening to, it was on social media, but I was listening to some comments from Kevin O'Connell, the head coach. He's like getting emotional about it.
Yeah.
He cares about him. He's not saying you suck and, you know, you're not going to be my guy. It's like, all right, I got you.
By the way, and this is not crazy because this is something I always envisioned when the Jets were looking for a quarterback and certainly with the Giants. If Sam has a great year, sign him and trade J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, I trade for JJ now.
I mean, seriously. I mean, you get more. Think about the value that he would have having not played this season.
What is he, 26, 7? Sam Darnold?
Sam is 27.
Yeah, he was really young.
Yeah, why would you get rid of him?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. If it's working, why would you risk getting rid of him?
And that's, what, 7 more years? 6 more years?
Yeah.
And then he's still only 33.
Oh, he's young.
It's not like he's 38.
I think this is so different than other quarterback situations. I think if Sam has a great year and you turn out to be right, I think you marry him. Yeah. I don't think you mess around and say, well, let's see what J.J. McCarthy is. Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 coming up. A lot more of your John and Jack calls, plus what you set you up for a big night out at Citi Field. And find out what the Mets have done to try to spark the team tonight at Citi Field.